Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor Oscar Clavel delivers the message entitled, It Takes a Village.
Our first scripture lesson comes from Psalms 86, verses 11 through 17. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart to revere your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love towards me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. O God, the insolent rise up against me. A band of ruffians seeks my life, and they do not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Give your strength to your servant. Save the child of your serving maid. Show me a sign of your favor, so that those who hate me may see it and be put to shame, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me.
Amen. Thank you, Keva. And our second reading comes from the book of 1 Timothy, beginning at verse 3. It says, I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did. When I remember you constantly, my prayers night and day, recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power, and of love, and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed, then, of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. But join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you've heard from me and the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living within us. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we have been in this beautiful worship service, Father. We have prayed, we have sung, we have heard scripture. And so, Lord, now open our hearts and our minds to hear the preaching of your word. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. It's an odd thing to stand up here this morning knowing that this is my second to last sermon that I'll be preaching here at TAB. But there is always an intention when I thought about the text and I thought about what I wanted to say and what I felt God was also leading me to say to us this morning. And I thought to myself about the word maturity. You know, there's a lot of ways that we can measure maturity. We can look at a child or a teenager and we can say they're maturing as we see the changes that are taking place in their body. With an adult, I think we think to ourselves someone is maturing when we think of wisdom. Maybe someone that has made a wise decision or has shared some wise counsel with us. And we often think to ourselves, that person is both wise and mature. But what about Christian maturity? What markers tell us that a person is growing in grace, truth, and love? First, I want to acknowledge that only God knows our hearts and motives. So what we see in many people and many times is just the appearance, the surface, but not the whole. But this does not mean that we can't draw some conclusions, but we'll have to tread a little bit lightly. You know, I've met many people who are not very outgoing. They're very quiet. We might call them shy or timid. But they have a very vibrant faith, a faith that draws deep from that well of the Holy Spirit. While I've met other people who are very outgoing, they're in the spotlight, but they are very shallow and have hardly any depth. in the Spirit. So we never know, but only God knows. But I think there is one angle that we can measure maturity, and that is Christian community. I know that many of us today are busy with children. We're nurturing relationships, volunteering, and then just the general upkeep of life. The recent data from Pew Research says that this overall feeling of busyness is very prevalent, where 36% of Christians are participating in weekly worship. Now, I wonder, out of those 36%, how many are taking advantage or being discipled throughout the week? And I wonder this because I have known of a person that came to church every week, very faithful, but when they ran into troubles, they sunk because they had not built any type of Christian community. They came and they went with ease every Sunday. And I see that more and more, I think, in our day, where a good majority of Christian devotionals or even a lot of Christian books, to me, are starting to read like self-help books that you can do on your own, no real emphasis on community or being formed together. And believe me, I think a strong personal faith is important. But a personal faith is also, to tell you, limited, and it carries liabilities. Proverbs 4 says, and we always read this for marriages, but it actually makes more sense for discipleship. It says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So no matter how strong you think you are spiritually, if you are walking the Christian life alone, you are subject to fall and also to sink. My first year at TAB was one of my loneliest years I ever spent in ministry. You're taught in seminary and also from colleagues that you need to look elsewhere for friendships and you need to look elsewhere for growth rather than your church. Because the general knowledge that goes around is that people in the church are needy and they can never see you as sinful and broken, still in need of grace. They expect perfection out of you. I think it's a horrible idea, but it is one that is instilled into many of us. And I remember saying towards the end of my first year here that I felt burnt out and that I needed to take a break. And I thought, no wonder I'm burnt out. I have closed myself from the very nurture and love that I would eventually come to find in this church. The very same nurture and discipleship that would form me into the man that I am both becoming and the man that I have become. You see, none of us are formed in isolation. Even the act of birth requires that two people come together to create. Why do we think that the creation of our own spiritual lives is not the same? Why do we think that our spiritual lives are so dependent on us? My desires, my motivation, my drive. Where does it say that in Scripture? Does not Scripture teach us the other? To walk beside, to partner. Paul writes to Timothy, he's an aspiring young pastor who has taken on his first church. Guess you can see why these verses seem pertinent this morning, considering that I'm about to take on my first church as a senior pastor. So first, Paul reminds Timothy, he says, Timothy, you are ready. And that's our first point. You are ready. You know, Timothy was a young pastor. He was very timid. It says probably he was a little fearful. He probably wondered if he was up to the challenge of leading, if he could care for this new flock. And maybe like me, he wondered, what have I gotten myself into? Can I be the man of God that he has called me to be at this hour? Fear had seized this young pastor, and he needed reassurance that his training with Paul had equipped him, that he could be the minister that would be adaptable and would be able to lead. So Paul reminds him, he says, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us not a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control." What Paul is saying here, he's saying, Timothy, my son, you've been with me like an apprentice. I've watched you. We've done ministry together. I've seen gifts that are ripe for development, but they needed time. He says, you're ready. For this reason, you're ready. You know, one of the things that I have loved about my time here at TAB is that I feel in many ways we have done ministry together. And you have given me the freedom to develop and to see the gifts right for ministry for me. Who would ever thought 12 years ago that this young pastor would like to walk around while he preaches? Who would have thought 12 years ago that this young pastor sometimes gets excited when he preaches the gospel? None of us. None of us did. And had this been a different type of congregation that would have quenched the gifts of the Spirit, we never would have seen what God had in store for me, but what God also had in store for us. But to quench the gifts of the Spirit is the easy thing. It's out of line. It's out of order. It's not what we're used to. But yet, if we allow people to develop, we might be very surprised. Now, one of the things that I hear often the last few weeks, people say, it's sad to see you go, but we know you're ready. You're ready. But I think like anybody else, I can become a bit unsure if I actually am ready. You see, all of us can become unsure, whether it's a new church, a new job, a child is born, an unexpected loss. We can all be unsure or fearful of the future. And we can doubt our ability to meet the need of the moment. Psychologists will call this a thought distortion. And that's when our thinking or our feelings do not line up with the fact. When we believe ourselves less capable, and so we become anxious, we become depressed. But if we break out of this thought and tells us that we can, what we need to break out of it is the assurances of truth. And there are two truths that we need to know. First of all, you have been capable in the past. You've overcome adversity. You've overcome the odds before. And secondly, the truth of Scripture. God doesn't just throw you out into the sea, but God provides and God equips God's servant. And so what we need today is we need the words of Christian community because they are life-giving to us. They encourage us that whenever we feel weak, that we can fan into that weakness the almighty truths of God's word and power and say, yes, you are capable. Yes, you have giftings. Yes, you are able to do that which you think is impossible. You are ready. And folks, I think to myself, how many of us need that type of encouragement in our lives when we are faced with the odds and the mountains that we face? We need Christian community to fan us and to say, you're able, you're ready, you can do it. Because God has shown it to you before, and he'll show it to you again. Now, secondly, what Paul reminds Timothy is that you're ready because you were formed by Christian community. He says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. There's a popular African proverb that says it takes a village to raise a child. And likewise, it takes a church to raise a disciple. You know, my becoming of a pastor, my becoming of a disciple of Jesus Christ is a result of this church. And I don't say that just to be sentimental. If you know me enough, you know I'm not that sentimental to begin with. I can discard objects very easily. But I will tell you this. This congregation has grandmother Lois's and mothers like Eunice in its midst. I know it because I've experienced it. This congregation can shoulder the lives of many people and can form them into the people that God has called with purpose and joy. And really, that is my wish and my hope for TAB as it goes into the future. That you take up the mantle of your holy priesthood and that you don't shy away or that you leave discipleship and Christian community to the experts. This church is more than equipped for ministry. And maybe what you need this morning is you need to see it in one of your own that you're sending out to be a pastor. This church is a place where there are deep roots of faith and of prayer. But none of this is going to happen on well wishes or good intentions. It's going to take courage not only from leadership, but also intentionality from this congregation. My first Presbyterian church in 2003, there's a woman named Jane, and she was the first one who ever saw the gift of pastoring in me. I remember Jane would tell me, she says, you're going to be a pastor one day. And I thought in the back of my mind, Jane, you're crazy. Like, there's no way that's going to happen. But she said, you know, go to seminary. And I did go to seminary. And Jane, she would write me letters when I was at Princeton, long kind of like Pauline letters, you know, these long letters of instructions and wisdom. Jane died when I was at seminary, but I know that in the kingdom to come, she'll be honored by Jesus as those who formed and shaped ministers for the gospel, because she shaped me by her words and by her encouragement. And I think TAB can be that same church, but it must focus its purpose and its mission and development. So who am I talking to this morning? Talking to you. Who, me? Not the person next to me? Not the person in front of me? No, I'm talking to you. So put a finger to yourself. Me. Jeff, I saw that. Put that finger back on you. You. You're ready. You're equipped. You're called. You see, TAB can be the place where we can nurture and we can disciple many people, young, old, and we can nurture them. We can see them grow in God's giftings. We can empower them to see God's purposes in them. And this morning, there are people with eyes that are hungry to be touched, to be ministered to. You see, you might think to yourself, well, how am I ready? Your business, your profession, your ups and downs, the things that you've been through, you think all that stuff was just by accident? Are you that silly? No. All of your life, God has had his hands on you in such a way that even though at times you felt it was out of control, it was always perfectly in control. And God is saying this, all the things that you have been through, they have equipped you to be the type of people that can minister and to minister to one another. There are people in our church this morning, I know some of them. They're searching a call to ministry. There's some here that are wondering, what do I do with my life at this age or at this time? And folks, if we are intentional, we can see that birth and grow within us. And it doesn't have to be that complicated. See, that's the beauty of it. Jane just wrote me letters because that's all she could do. I imagine you could write a letter, you could pick up a phone, but do something. Because the gospel is too important to waste, and time is too short. It's too short. So this church needs to take a step of faith. And it needs to be a church where those of us that know that we have something in store for us, we need to unbusy ourselves, and we need to dig into this congregation. And folks, I'm telling you this because this congregation, for those of you that are saying, I want more of God, I want God to do something in me, I want God to give me clarity, some sort of direction, if you dig into this congregation, I promise you that you will find the very answers that you have been seeking. Because this congregation is ready. This congregation can shape and mold people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I challenge you in this one thing, and I'll end it here. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. You're capable, you're willing, your whole life is a testimony. So do it. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the ways that you have ordered our lives. You have called us, you have molded us, even to this very moment, God. Nothing has been by chance, by luck, or by fate. Our lives, this church, has been called for a purpose, and it has always been to bring you glory and to bring about the gospel in many different ways. So Lord, equip us, call us, challenge us to be like Paul's, if we're a Timothy, to dig in, to be intentional, to reach out. Please speak to us in these moments, we pray, Holy Spirit.